Earlier this month, Unshackle Upstate, an organization representing business interests in, you guessed it, upstate New York, announced that Monroe County legislator Justin Wilcox will serve as their new executive director, replacing Michael Cracker, who left this year to take a job with Senate Minority Leader Robert Ort. In light of the change, we wanted to get to know Justin and, with the legislative session right around the corner, learn about Unshackle Upstate's priorities for 2021. Welcome to the show, Justin, and congrats on the new job.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So one of the things about you that stood out for me is that you're a Democrat and have worked for Democratic legislators in Albany, which is in contrast to your predecessor. How do you think your background and experience will affect Unshackle's ability to lobby in the Capitol, where Democrats control the legislative and executive branches?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the reasons why I really felt this position was a great fit for me. This is an organization that I had some experience with, right, working in Albany. I knew sort of Unshackle's agenda. I knew the issues. I knew their positions on, you know, regulation, taxes, sort of pro-taxpayer positions. And it was sort of a natural fit for me, being a small business owner myself, a pro-business Democrat, having worked for Assemblyman Joe Morelli, among others, in the New York State legislature. So, you know, it felt natural. The timing felt right, given that, you know, all three, you know, you get the Assembly, the Senate, and the governor's office, all, you know, dominated by Democrats in charge. It just felt like a really good fit.
That's an interesting terminology you use, the pro-business Democrat, to refer to your former boss, Assembly Majority Leader Joe Morelli, now Congressman Joe Morelli. Does that mean, by contrast, there are anti-business Democrats?
Yeah, it's a great question. Let me try to think of how to answer that in a way that's not derisive or any way sort of you know, negative on some of my colleagues. But, you know, I think sort of where, you know, sort of, you know, where you stand, where you're sort of where you sit is just sort of where what you see, right? So for instance, New York dominates the legislature, New York City members. And, you know, for the most part, up until recently, the New York City economy has been booming. So if you're, you know, born in New York City, if you live in New York City, what you see is a thriving economy. And, you know, you don't really think about the implications of your policies, how they might affect the trajectory of the upstate economy, which is, frankly, completely different trajectory, right? We are losing jobs, we're losing population in upstate New York, and have been for years. So I don't want to say that it's hostile, per se, but I just think it comes from a different perspective. It comes from perspective that businesses seem to, no matter how much you tax them, continue to do well, right, if you're downstate. That's not true upstate, right? Those taxes have devastating impacts on small businesses that are already struggling with razor-thin margins in an overregulated environment. So, you know, again, it's a great question. I think part of the answer comes from, again, depending on where you sort of stand or where you sit is what you see. But I also think this comes from the sort of pervasive, you know, this trend in government where you see people who are in government staying in government. You see people who, you know, are staffers, you know, striving to get into elected office and staying there, not experiencing and not having worked in the private sector. So I think part of this also is sort of experience, right? The fact that most people, a lot of people that I met and dealt with in Albany, you know, their lifetime experience was in government. It's not a bad thing. It just means that they don't have that perspective of being in the private sector. And, you know, certainly I could say the same things to my friends in the private sector and say, hey, look, you don't really understand the role of government and, you know, the relationship that we have, what we're trying to achieve here, you know, is to, you know, protect consumers, protect the environment through regulation. So, you know, it's really about a balance. But, I think the balance is a little out of whack right now. And I think, it can easily be perceived that Democrats appear to be hostile to business interests.
So speaking of that private experience, I read that you started a roofing business back in the early 90s. What were the conditions that led you to take that leap? And do you think those conditions exist today for New Yorkers in a similar position who might want to start their own business?
Yeah, the conditions were such that, frankly, I'm not sure my particular conditions are sort of representative. But, it was, I was just out of high school, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And roofing was something that, I had picked up through the family. My uncle had owned a roofing business and learned the trade. And, for me, it was a way to earn money. I really look back on that experience. And I still do roofing, by the way, but I look back at the experience. I started that business, as a 20-year-old, 21-year-old, and it taught me some very important lessons, right? That I think I still to this day reflect on, right? The ability to sort of go out there and have to market yourself. Having to know New York State laws and regulations, having to make sure you had the right insurance, going out there and really just every day earning your living through, for the most part, the sweat of your own brow, it teaches you that, it's not always easy in New York State to survive. Again, roofing is sort of a particularized trade too, right? Because again, we have seasons here in upstate New York that really, diminish the amount of time you can work in that occupation. So it had its own challenges. But in addition to those challenges were additional burdens that New York State placed on, contractors like myself. You're having to deal with 240, 241, which is incredibly onerous and makes the cost of doing business in New York State incredibly expensive. I would say that, today, I think that's, these challenges that I had are still out there. And frankly, I think they're worse for many businesses, not just contractors.
We're speaking with Justin Wilcox, the new executive director of Unshackle Upstate, an advocacy organization for business interests in upstate New York. So pivoting ahead, not too far ahead, but right around the corner, we've got the legislative session. What would you say are some of your top priorities for lawmakers and Governor Andrew Cuomo?
Yeah, I think for Unshackle, it's some of the same priorities we've always had, right? It's really about sort of realizing that upstate is different from downstate. We don't have the same, mass of population, the agglomeration of certain sectors. It's tougher to do business in upstate New York and to keep businesses open. So I think, one of our priorities is going to be to sort of continue to try to educate lawmakers and policymakers and sort of, get them to reshape their views of upstate New York, sort of recalibrate their views on business climate in general, and the relationship with employers. So, one of the things we want to make sure that people understand is the private sector really drives the economy. And so what we're going to do is advocate for those policies that allow those businesses that really do create the jobs that lead to prosperity. We really want to make sure we continue to advocate for those policies. So, one example I gave a little earlier was, 240, 241. That really has to be examined. It's a great time to sort of relook at that. We have tenant advocates now looking at 240, 241 and realizing that adds a lot of cost, on the construction of low-income housing. So that's one of the reasons why we don't have more affordable housing in New York State is those costs associated with 240, 241. So that's something we'd like to sort of focus in on in the upcoming session. I think there's going to be plenty of concern over unemployment insurance and possible surcharges, given the amount of you know, the experience rating of the number of businesses who've had to lay people off. So you will see probably, you know, one of our agenda items will certainly be to ensure that those surcharges are not passed along to small businesses because they're already struggling. Like, as we've mentioned before, so many of them that are able to keep their doors open right now are operating on incredibly thin margins. So, you know, I would say, in addition to those items, we do also want to focus on sort of forming an upstate caucus with a number of new members coming in that will be in the majority. I think it's going to be more important than ever to sort of make sure that they're representing upstate interests, to ensure that they're communicating as effectively as possible with as strong a voice as possible. And one way to do that is to form an upstate caucus, and we're certainly going to be trying to help folks do that.
This week, the minimum wage in upstate New York is going from $11.80 to $12.50. Do you think it was the right decision by the Department of Labor under the Cuomo administration to let that hike go through as planned?
You know, I think it was the wrong decision. I really think, given some of the things we've just discussed, I think, you know, understanding that small businesses, so many of them have closed their doors, are not going to be able to reopen, and the ones that remain are really struggling. I think it was the wrong move. I understand why it went forward. I get that it's an incredibly popular position with the public, but you know, when you really, you know, go into the weeds, if you look at the policy of, you know, minimum wage and what's its intended impact, and a lot of people will say to alleviate poverty. Well, it's probably one of the worst tools to actually alleviate poverty, right? It's an incredibly blunt instrument, and frankly, you know, Bureau of Labor Statistics indicates that most people who earn a minimum wage don't live in poverty. So, you know, it's affecting the wrong households at the wrong time. And, you know, it's going to have an adverse impact. Even according to the Department of Budget, which produced a report related to the minimum wage prior to this increase, it did indicate that, you know, increasing the minimum wage during a pandemic was going to have adverse impacts, would likely have adverse impacts. So even the Department of Budget, their own report indicated this is likely to have adverse impact. But back to just very quickly, the minimum wage and its sort of the intended policy implications. You know, I really think one of the things that people really should take a closer look at is the earned income tax credit, because if you really want to target those in poverty, that's the precise tool to do it. So again, I understand it's incredibly popular, but it was really the wrong time to do it. This is like throwing small businesses an anchor when what they're looking for is a life jacket.
I read in the Democrat and Chronicle, which was covering your race for the Democratic nomination for an open Rochester area assembly seat, that you and your fellow candidates were supportive of the New York Health Act, which was legislation that would essentially put the state in control of health insurance for New Yorkers. In your capacity with Unshackle Upstate, are you still supportive of that general principle of taking the mandate of providing insurance away from businesses, employers, and making it a government responsibility?
Well, let me actually start, because one of the things I sort of want to clarify is I did not see what you just cited, because one of the things I did do publicly was say my opposition to the New York Health Act publicly. While I was running, it was something I thought was to my detriment to speak out against it, because again, I was in a Democratic primary, not the most popular position to take in a Democratic primary, which is to be opposed to the New York Health Act. I was opposed to it, so I'm not sure exactly
what it says in the article from June 19th is all support the New York Health Act, possibly with modifications.
Yeah, not so. I don't I didn't see any modifications that would make the New York Health Act.
So Brian Sharp is overdue for a correction to his June piece?
Brian Sharp was overdue for a few corrections in that article, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But he got quite a few things wrong, unfortunately. And again, no reflection of Brian. I know they got a lot of work to do over there. The staff is spread very thin, but there were a number of errors in that article. That one I was not familiar with, though. That is completely incorrect. So, again, and I don't shy away from it, because one of the problems with the New York Health Act is it simply doesn't add up, right? So my experience, having worked in Albany, having worked for the Insurance Committee when Assemblyman Morelli was chair of the Insurance Committee in the Assembly, you know, one of the things we were very close to was insurance. And, you know, when you learn about the costs associated with providing health care, you sort of learn a little bit about the cost drivers. And so much of the New York Health Act doesn't address the cost drivers. You know, again, there's demographics, there's utilization. You know, so much of it is, you know, hospitals and renegotiated contracts. So, again, while it sounded very nice, and this is sort of, I'll give you my quick sort of, you know, 2 minutes. Well, probably won't be that long, but, you know, my synopsis of why I was opposed to the New York Health Act was simply because, while it sounded nice, it didn't address any of the underlying cost drivers. In addition, it would be so incredibly expensive to do at the state level that even the reports that were issued that were sort of favorable, there was no way to do it, you know, without Medicaid or Medicare waivers in addition, right? So there are all these caveats. And even then, even with the caveats, it still wasn't affordable. So at the end of the day, you know, I just looked at the math and said, look, I can't support that. So sort of getting around to your question of whether or not, you know, now that I'm leading Unshackled, my position when I ran is completely, I think, consistent with Unshackled's position, which is that this is an incredible tax on people and businesses with, frankly, no benefit. Because at the same, you know, they're within the New York State Health Act, we do not address the cost drivers.
Well, we've been speaking with Justin Wilcox. He is the new executive director of Unshackle Upstate, an advocacy organization for business interests in upstate New York. Justin, thank you so much for making the time, and good luck with the new job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.